In Luke chapter 9, we're going to look at the last six verses of the chapter, beginning in verse number 57. And we're going to look at three different men. We're going to look at what the Lord told them. And some people look at this as a test of discipleship. And we're all called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We're called to be followers. And if we're following Him closely, and that's what this passage is about following the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us some challenges. He gives us some things to think about. And so we're going to look at these three men tonight. And I pray that the message will be a blessing to you as it was to me when I was studying and preparing for it. And I just pray that you would learn something new from this passage and maybe take it and apply it to your life. Let's bow in a word of prayer before we get into the passage this evening. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you be honored and glorified in our lives, Lord. As we look into the scripture tonight, I pray that you would take the word of God and use it in our lives. Help us to honor and glorify you in all that we do and say. And Lord, we ask that you would lead and guide and just speak to hearts and lives. Help us all as we would have an open heart to the word of God, that we would take the word of God and be doers of it and not hearers only, Lord. I thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse number 57, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." I call this man the volunteer. You know, and we need more volunteers today than ever before. We need guys that would be step up and say, "Hey, I'm willing to follow you, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to follow you." Now look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, and we'll see if we pass the test. The Lord Jesus said this, and Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." I don't really know what this man was looking for, but we can gather from the answer that Jesus gave him that he was looking for some kind of possession that he would receive because of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ reminded him, he says, "Look, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but I don't have anywhere to lay my head." He says, "Listen, if you follow me, you might go through some trying times. If you follow me, you may not have all the nicest possessions and the nicest things that you could have. And if you follow me, don't do it because you're trying to get these things. Because those things don't come to those who are just trying to follow me. God does promise to take care of all of our needs. And even David himself said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've never met anyone who is wholly following the Lord Jesus Christ and doing God's will that was starving and homeless and just destitute without anything in this world. I've never met anyone like that." So God does promise to provide those things, but he doesn't say that when you get ready to go into the ministry and you're looking to find a position somewhere, he doesn't promise a position. You know, when I finished Bible college, I went back to my wife's church because we were getting ready to be married. We graduated May of 2004. We got married in November. So her pastor graciously asked me if I would come and serve there as an intern for the summer. There was not much pay involved, not really any pay involved, and it was just a volunteer thing. Would you come and work with us? So I went up there and worked for the summer, and after the summer was over, I found a job. And I was telling one of the men in here tonight that I worked at a Napa Auto Care Center. I started out pushing the broom, cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning up oil spills and messes that the other mechanics made. That's what I did. I just worked a job and started serving in the ministry wherever I could. We were leading the bus ministry and different aspects of the ministry at that time. We just jumped in and served. After about 3 years' time, I had learned to tear down and rebuild engines. So God had a plan, and even now today, in Cameroon, I was able to take out my own clutch and put in a new clutch and do it all the work myself, knowing that I got new parts, knowing that I got the right parts in the right place, and that everything got put back in the right way. So the Lord had a plan and a purpose in having me begin to work that job, but I didn't have a position. If you're all about a position, the position may not be there. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you'll be willing to do whatever He asked you to do. God never told me to go somewhere else. He never said, I want you to do this or I want you to do that. He was just waiting and letting me learn, letting me continue to grow in my faith. I don't believe that if God had said to me right out of Bible college, I want you to go to Cameroon, I don't think I would have went. Because my faith was not ready to take that step at that time. So it took some time to build my faith muscle and to get my faith strong enough to where when God said, hey, I do want you to go to Cameroon, then it was like, okay, Lord, if that's what you want us to do, we know that you'll provide. We know that you'll take care of our children. We know that you'll offer protection in areas that we need protection. We know those things. Why? Based on our faith in God. And our faith has grown and been built up over the years. If you're not exercising faith, if you're not taking steps of faith, then your faith is going to get weak. And just like a muscle, when you put your muscle, an arm in a cast. My daughter had a cast on earlier this year because she broke her arm over there in Cameroon. But when that arm was in that cast, she couldn't move it a lot. The muscle didn't get worked. So when it came out of the cast, she held her arms up and her arm was significantly smaller. The muscles were a lot smaller, huh, Lydia? The muscles were smaller. Why? Because they weren't being worked. If you don't work your faith is going to be weak. And you'll never be able to do what God asks you to do as a volunteer for Him. We need men who are willing to volunteer. We need women who are willing to volunteer and just step out and do what God has asked you to do without a name or a title or a name or a salary that's given. Just step out and do the work. I'm sure we have many volunteers in here that do many things around the ministry, and that's a blessing. But we could always use more. I've never met a pastor that said, no, we don't need any more volunteers. We don't need any more workers. We have plenty. Never met one that said that. If I did, I'd probably drop dead of a heart attack because I've never known a pastor that didn't have something more that someone could do. So we need more volunteers. The next man we see was actually called by God. So we see a volunteer and we see someone who is called. Verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. You know, here's a man who is called of God to do something. And the indication here is that maybe his father was older or elderly and they were anticipating his father's death. It could be that his father was already dead and he just needed to go home and bury him. We don't know. But whatever it is, when God calls you to do something, don't let anything stand in the way and make you hesitate. Okay? This man, he hesitated, and Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. When God calls us, when God tells us to do something, especially when it involves the gospel, which is what the Lord Jesus Christ said here, go thou and preach the kingdom of God. That was the mission the man was sent on. He called him and he said, go and preach the kingdom of God. That's more important than whether someone gets buried or not. There's many other people who love that individual, whether it be your father, your mother, your children, whatever it is. There are many other people around that love those people that can bury them for you. Okay? Don't let anything stand in the way when God tells you to go and do something. Don't let anything stand in the way and make you hesitate. You know, when God called us to Cameroon, I was a youth pastor at a church in California. I was working a job as a distance learning teacher, working with an online Christian academy, and we taught children all around the world through the internet. They did their work online, and they would call in, and I would answer questions for them from any subject, from third grade through 12th grade. So I'm not a super learned teacher or anything, but I could help kids learn, all right? So anyways, I was working this job, and I also worked at the church. I did a lot of different things. I was the youth pastor, song leader, choir director, the bookkeeper, you name it, I did it. I mowed the lawns and just helped out wherever I could. We were just serving, and God brought a missionary to our church that was going to Cameroon. And I said, you know, I just thought, oh, it's going to be another Sunday. We have a missionary. We love missionaries, but it's just another Sunday. Started leading the songs and everything, and the missionary showed his presentation like I did. And man, sitting right down there, I broke down crying. Because in that missionary presentation, he had a government school full of kids that were singing, God save our nation, God save our country, God save our land. And I thought, why have I never heard of this country before? The children in the school are begging for God to send people to save their nation, to save their land. And I was 29, 30 years old at the time, and I had never heard of the country of Cameroon. I thought, man, why is no one going? Then I did more research and found out that there were only 13 missionaries, Baptist missionaries, in the entire nation of Cameroon at that time. Now there's even less. There's probably 8 or 9 in the entire country, 24 million people, and only 8 or 9 Baptist missionaries there. I thought, why is no one going? With a country so open, with children with hearts open for the gospel, and no one's going. That's why I broke down crying. You know what? The next morning I read in my devotions, Isaiah chapter 6. God said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. A volunteer. God was still asking, hey, who's willing to go? Who can I send and who's willing to go? And I knelt down and I said, Lord, I'm willing to go. But you have to convince my wife that it's your plan for us. When I told my wife about it, her first reaction was, what? We can't go. We have 4 little girls. What about all the disease and the snakes and the spiders? And what about our house? We had just bought a house. We hadn't even lived in our house 2 years. And I'm asking her to pray about moving all the way around the world. She's just questions going through her mind. I said, you know, all of those things went through my mind when I was sitting there broken down weeping during that missionary presentation. I thought, I can't go. I've got 4 daughters. What about all the disease and the snakes and the spiders? And, you know, what about our house? How are we going to, you know, we just bought it. How am I going to get her to move out of this house? But I knew the Lord told me in my heart, he said, you know, I can take care of all those things. And I thought, you know, that's the truth. If God wants us to go, he can take care of all those things. And about 6 weeks later, 6 weeks of praying, we both prayed individually, asking God to show us. One day, I came home from teaching school, and she came to me and she said, this morning in my devotions, God spoke to me, and in Proverbs chapter 23, the Bible there says, son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. As she said, I realized that if I wasn't willing to go to Africa, I'd never really given God my heart. And she said, I surrendered to do whatever God wants us to do. And we prayed, and God gave us confirmation that He wanted us to go. And we stepped out by faith. We trusted God, and God opened doors. It was amazing. We got to BIMI is our mission board, and they have a screening process at the beginning of June. This is the end of April when we know that God wants us to go. The end of April, we knew God wanted us to go. I contacted BIMI, and they said, oh, you can fill out the paperwork, but I doubt you'll make it to our June candidate school. But we made it. God opened all the doors. God provided for the airfare. And that was amazing in itself because it was a property tax refund. Who gets property tax refund? I got a property tax refund in the mail literally just weeks before we were having to fly to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And that paid. It was the exact amount we needed to pay for our tickets. God opened doors. He paid for it, supplied in so many ways. And there were so many things that God did for us that strengthened our faith that we knew this was what God had for us. We still know that that's what God has for us. But when God says, follow me, are you ready to go? Are you ready to step out and follow Him? There was nothing that anyone could have told me that kept me from doing what God wanted me to do. Why? Because I knew that's what God would have for us. And the safest place for my family to be is the center of God's will. Amen. If I get out of God's will, my family's in danger. But if I'm following God and I'm in the center of God's will where God would have me to be and I'm following Him and trusting Him, you can guarantee God has safety right there in the center of God's will. This man says, hey, God says, follow me. And he says, wait, let me go and take care of these things first. Some people say, wait, let me make enough money so that no one has to support me before I go to the mission field. You know, God doesn't have it set up that way. God has it set up so that missionaries get prayer support as well as monetary support when they travel around to churches and gather up the funds in order to go and do what God's called them to do. It's God's will that you would go around and be able to meet people and to challenge them in the area of missions, in the area of preaching the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. It's God's way of us being able to raise our money, but it's also God's way for prayer to be said for us as we're on the field. We've been in hundreds of churches on deputation and in furlough now. And so many of those churches, they may not support us with financial offerings, but they support us with prayer. Amen. And that's more vital to me than the money, because God will take care of the money. I know He will. Amen. He always does. But the prayer, I can't do without. We can't do the work of God without prayer. So we need to step out and do what God's called us to do without letting anything hinder us. This man, he was called, but he hesitated. Then the last one we see, and it's another volunteer, but he also had a hesitation. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, this man's situation, we don't really know his home situation, but I do know that sometimes home can be the hardest place to say goodbye. Going home to Wyoming is where I'm from. I'm from Cody, Wyoming. And going back to the country, back to the mountains and the beauty that surrounds Cody, Wyoming, it's hard for me to say goodbye. I love elk hunting. I love deer hunting. I love fishing. I love camping. I love all those things. I love cattle ranching. I love all of that. I grew up doing that. You talk about chucking hay bales. I chucked hay bales, brother. I dug ditches. I irrigated with flood irrigation. I mean, I've done it all. And I miss that. Sometimes I miss that. Why? Because it's good, hard work, but you see the reward of your labor. I miss that part of it. So going home for me, sometimes it's hard to leave and say goodbye. But when you know that God has called you to do something, it's more important for you to do what God's called you to do than for you to bask in the comforts that would be available at home. This man, he looked back. He says, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but first let me go say goodbye. First let me do this. First let me do that. Any one of us can make all kinds of excuses for why, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me do that first. You know, sometimes God only calls one time. And if you don't do what God's called you to do right then, He may not give you a second opportunity to follow that call again, because He may not call you again. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When I was working with my uncle on his ranch, every once in a while we would take his ditching machine, his ditcher behind the tractor, and we'd have to redig the ditches so that clean them out, get them all ready for the springtime so that they're ready for the summer. And we'd go in and he'd put the tractor over it and he'd tell me, you know, okay, lower the ditch, and we'd lower the ditcher down. And if you don't keep a straight line, if you don't follow that ditch, your tractor can get stuck real fast in those ditches, especially if you're looking back and you're trying to watch the ditching machine instead of watching the ditch in front of you. You can get off track and get stuck in the ditch. It's the same way with a plow. I've never plowed with oxen, but I like watching Little House on the Prairie. And when Charles Ingalls is behind that plow, he doesn't look anywhere except straight in front of him. Why? Because if you start looking around, your plow furrows are going to be all over the place. And you can't plant when your furrows are going everywhere. God wants us to plow, and He wants us to plow straight. The only way we can plow straight is when we keep our eyes on Him. The goal at the end is Jesus Christ. The goal at the end is to be more like Him. The goal at the end is to have held up His word and followed it and followed Him all the way through our life, so that when we look back, we can say, hey, I plowed pretty straight. I'm the same today and yesterday as I was 20 years ago. Why? Because I plowed straight. Because I kept my eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. You know, this day and age, there are a lot of people my age, guys that I went to school with, that have taken their eyes off of this, and they've started looking at what everybody else is doing. Well, what's he doing over here? Oh, that seems to be drawing a crowd. Maybe I should try that. You know what happens when you start looking to the left or to the right? You end up going that direction. You know, the one we are to be focused on is Jesus Christ. We're supposed to keep a straight line, looking at the cross, looking at Jesus Christ, following Him, allowing Him to lead and guide in our lives, so that at the end we look back and we know we've done what God wanted us to do. Don't stray from the path that God has given you. Don't look back. When you put your hands to the plow, when you say, I'm going to follow the Lord, put your hands to the plow and follow Christ. Because as He leads you and as He guides you and He directs you, He may call you to go here. He may call you to go there. He might call you to 10 different positions around the world. Who knows? But if you're following Christ, you can look behind you and you can see that others are following Christ as well. we need to follow Christ because, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow Paul because of who he is. Follow Paul because he was following Christ. We all need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. God calls all of us. He says, some they volunteer. But when they volunteer, they look for position or possessions. Those things aren't promised. And that's what God was trying to tell the first man as a volunteer. He says, hey, look, the position or the name that you wanted may not come. Don't follow me for those things. Follow me because it's the right thing to do. Secondly, we saw the man that was called. God doesn't always call everyone to the same thing. I know God hasn't called everyone in here to go to Cameroon. If he did, man, wonderful, great. But I know he hasn't done that because we need churches here as much as we need them there. So God hasn't called everyone to go, but God has called everyone to be a witness. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to go and preach the gospel. So we need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to, when God calls us, we need to step out and go. And then don't put your hand to the plow and start looking back. You'll mess up your life. Don't live like, oh man, I wish I had done that before I started following Christ. No, no you don't. It's not worth it. But it is worth it when you look back and you see the souls that are following you to the kingdom of heaven. The only thing you can take with you to heaven is souls. And I would hope that you would be able to look at your life and look back and say, man, there's souls after soul after soul after soul that is in heaven because I followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And tonight, I challenge you as Christians. I never like to assume that everyone in here is a saved individual. But if you do know Christ, then the challenge is for you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about possessions or positions. Don't let anything stand in your way or distract you from following the Lord. And don't turn back and look back and wonder if you should have done something different if you're following the Lord. Those are the challenging thoughts for you. And if there's anyone in here that does not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, don't leave here tonight without coming to know Him. God's will is that everyone would be saved. God's will is that none should perish, no, not one. But that all should come to repentance. So I challenge you tonight that if you've never repented of your sin, never turned to Jesus Christ alone for salvation, then don't leave here the same as you came in. Receive Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Come down this altar. Tell someone that you need to be saved and we'll be glad to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Christian, if you have a decision you need to make, whether it's to volunteer and step out and do what God's called you to do, maybe God's called you to a specific ministry and you need to make sure that nothing stands in your way to do what God's bid you to do. Or maybe you've been looking back. You've put your hand to the plow, you've committed to follow Christ, but you've been looking back and you're not plowing a straight line with your life. Whatever it is that God's spoken to you, as the piano begins to play, I'll say a word of prayer, then the piano will play, and you can make decisions at that time. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for the opportunity we have to learn and grow in your word. And Lord, as these men said that they had a desire in their heart to follow you, the Spirit is willing, but oftentimes the flesh is weak. Lord, may we take into account of our own lives, that we follow you without hesitation, that we follow you without looking back, wondering, or looking to the side and wondering what everybody else is doing. Lord, may we follow you because your word will stand forever. May we stand with your word and follow you wholly with our whole heart, standing firm on the word of God, standing fast in the faith. Lord, I ask that you be honored and glorified in each and every life. Lord, if there's one here tonight that does not know you, I pray that they would come and make a decision to believe in you tonight, that they could leave here knowing for sure they're on their way to heaven. Lord, we ask that you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor?
And Father, as we continue in prayer, I do pray that you would help us to not be hesitant when you call us, and not to second guess you, not to turn back. And I pray, God, that in a very special way, that you would call different ones to serve you tonight. I pray that call would be very clear, very specific.